RotoGrinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
What's up, Grinders? We're here. I'm Josh, Sir Giant. It's Monday, July 3rd. You're not hearing wrong. We got the Weekend Grind crew here for you guys this week. Josh, Sir Giant, along with my co-host, Mr. Chalk, Travis Mangone. We're going to be here for you guys, filling in for DB on the Fantasy Fix podcast this week. Travis, how you doing today, buddy?
Good, pretty good. Back for the week to sub in for Dan Bock. Glad that he let us come on here. We got some breaking news, not NBA breaking news, MLB. We have a trade. Miguel Montero was just traded to the Blue Jays. So we love Miguel Montero in DFS because he's 0 for 31 at throwing out people on the bases. So hopefully we get him playing some catcher for Toronto in the future. And if he is, fire up the stolen base guys against them.
That's some good information to have. He's always cheap too, and he hits righties pretty well. And, you know, he's going back to another place where, you know, in Wrigley we liked him when the wind was blowing out, going against righties at home. Now he's going to get another good park to play at home. So I think that's a bat we could target for cheap sometimes. We'll see, but yeah, definitely want to target base runners against him. It's a interesting time, man. We got some good tournaments today. We're going to be covering the main slate, locks at 7:05 p.m. We got 8 games. I think we can have some fun on the slate. There's some good games here. Before we go ahead with the analysis, give us both a follow on Twitter. My handle is @RealJoshuaGiant. That's @RealJoshuaGiant. You can follow Travis @TravisMangone. That's @TravisMangone. Just a little side note, you know, Travis has been writing these WNBA articles. It's been going really well. Travis, anything you want to talk about as far as that concerned? How are you doing with that? You having fun with that?
Yeah, it's been fun. News has been, like, killer. Like, so just if you're playing, man, you got to make sure you're at your laptop right before. Because, like, if there's, like, someone out, you don't get lineups until, like, literally, like 5 minutes before. It's worse than NBA sometimes, but if there's an injury. But it's good. There's an edge with that, right? We get some breaking news 4 or 5 minutes where, like, no one's on someone that could be out. So that's been great. Got a pretty good slate coming up, I think, on Wednesday, and I'll be writing something up for that for Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Be on the lookout for that. I'll be writing something up for that. And appreciate the plug for that. It's been fun. And they have pretty decent contests, man. Like, I don't know if you've been playing, but $4. And the prize pool for first is, normally $5,000. Yep, it's $5,000 on Wednesday, too. So, yeah, pretty good prize pool for a $4 entry.
Yeah, they're getting there. They're getting there with the sizing, which is really cool. And definitely be on the lookout for that. That's why you got to follow Travis on Twitter so you could catch these articles that he writes and have that edge in WNBA. It's a new sport, so, you know, there's always an edge to be had when a new sport comes around. Travis is the guy I think you should go to for that. But without further ado, you ready to hop into this slate, Travis? You ready to hop into these 8 games tonight?
Yeah, let's get started. It's you and I were talking before. It's kind of gross, but I kind of like when it's a gross slate and there's guys I don't like, and I think there's guys other people will like, and then there's one guy I like. So that's the kind of slate it is for me right now. So that's what I like. I'm a big fan of that because I can just hone in on the one guy and let everyone else make the mistake, hopefully.
All right. So what we're going to do is, as usual, what we do on the Weekend Grind, if you guys listen to our show on the weekends, we always start with the pitcher position. So that's where we're going to start here. Now, it's just interesting the way that pitching is on this slate. It's kind of like there's a few top-priced options, and they get spread out after that. And then there's a bunch of value options. I think that there's some viable options for cheap that we could play on this slate. But let's go ahead and start with the most expensive guys. We got Stroman and Tanaka, both these guys going against each other at Yankee Stadium. These are both the highest-priced pitchers on the slate. And it's, like I said, being played in Yankee Stadium, the run total is at 9. So there are expected to be some runs thrown around here in this game. Stroman, 10.9K on DraftKings. Tanaka, 9.9K on DraftKings. And over on FanDuel, Tanaka, 9K. Stroman, 8.8K. I don't think I'm really going to have much interest in either of these guys on the slate. I just feel like there's not enough of a floor here, especially like in cash. I feel like you're going to see a lot of Tanaka and Stroman, and I'm not sure if that's the route you want to go on this slate. Both these offenses very potent, you know, and they're playing in a game where both of them really want to, you know, they really want to get the win. We know the Yankees and the Blue Jays really play hard against each other, so I'm not sure if this is a spot where I want to like pay top dollar for a pitcher, you know, against offenses that are both healthy and crushing the ball. So I don't know where I'm at here on the slate with these pitchers, but you know, as I've been working on my roster construction this slate, I haven't really had a ton of Tanaka or Stroman. I just haven't been able to make it work. Travis, how do you feel about these two top priced options on this slate?
So that's interesting because you've normally been pretty good with Tanaka this year. You've been pretty spot on with him. I don't want to play like. These are two of the pitchers that I think people will gravitate a little bit to, right? They'll get some ownership, right, because of the name. I'm not saying they're going to be chalk or anything like that, or the matchup's great, but they'll gain some ownership, I think, because of that. Stroman's a really good ground ball guy, can really kind of limit the damage. He's really good at that and doesn't just have a ton of upside for, Ks. That's the one issue, and it's a Yankees offense that can be scary. I think, you know, there's certain matchups he can get the strikeout upside, like, if you see these only 50 fantasy point games or more are against Baltimore and Tampa Bay. And like, those are two teams that can swing and miss a lot. So the Yankees aren't really that type of a team that's just going to swing and miss a ton. I feel like, I mean, there'll be some Ks obviously because Stroman's a good pitcher, but there can also be some damage, I think, done by the Yankees. So I think I'm going to stay away from Stroman, but I could see maybe getting a little bit of exposure just because I could see him maybe getting to like 40 fantasy points, right? And man, pitcher's so bad today. Like I would sign up for 40, right? I could see him getting that in the tournament. Like I could see 40 winning. So I might get a little exposure. Tanaka, I never like rostering. Absolutely hate rostering. And his velocity's been up recently. And, you know, he had the last two pretty decent starts. I could see playing him, but I don't know, Josh, like what's your take on him? I could see if like throughout the day, if like people are talking about and like maybe there's something found, like last start, I played him a little bit because people were talking about how his velocity was up. And it's something that I never know with Tanaka. It's a guy I just don't really ever get right and never like rostering and just stay away from. So if I hear maybe people are getting on him, maybe I'll consider him in cash. And like if there's good reasons for it, right? Maybe that Blue Jays lineup is bad, something like that. But I don't know. Josh, what's your take on Tanaka? I mean, you know, you talked about it a little bit, but am I right about that?
I don't think that they're going to be rolling out a weak lineup here against the Yankees. You know, like the Blue Jays, like I said, the Blue Jays and the Yankees, you know, they always fight hard against each other. So I don't think that, you know, we're going to see the you know, most optimal lineup that they can make out of their offense. But, you know, the reasons that I would want to play Tanaka are not really necessarily reasons that we would see in the numbers. You know, they signed him up as a big game pitcher. You know, he needs to step up in his contract year. This is a guy that, you know, the Yankees signed to come in and get wins for them and get them to the postseason, right? So this is a spot where he has to perform. So I feel like he might have some of that extra boost. Plus he worked on throwing that sinker ball when he was behind in the count, which is something that was really hurting him. Is like he was relying heavily on that sinker when he'd fall behind the count. And he's kind of relied less on that, got more confidence in his other pitches now, which is really important. As a pitcher, that's something that really affects you on the mound is, you know, if you lose confidence in your fastball or if you lose confidence in your curveball for throwing it for a strike, you know, you get very limited. You start like using a pitch as a crutch, and he was using that sinker as a crutch. The problem is when, you know, hitters see that pitch a lot, you know, get around the second, third time around the lineup, they're going to be able to time that pitch, and they're going to be able to hit it well. So now he's been throwing more, you know, he's had more variance in his pitch selections, which is good. He's been hitting his spots again, keeping the ball low, which is something that he struggled with, you know, overextending his arm and keeping that ball low is something that, you know, you see more ground balls when he follows through better. And he's been, you know, he's had some fixes to his mechanics. It is a big game. He's supposed to be the big game pitcher. And this is a spot where I think that he could come out and throw a great game. He'd come out and throw like seven and strike out like, you know, eight guys, nine guys and get the Yankees to win at home. But I just don't like, I don't know if the odds are, of that happening are like, I don't know if that's the favorite for the outcome here. You know, like I don't feel comfortable, like I said, paying top dollar for him. And because I don't think that there's a strong enough chance of him coming out and having like an absolutely dominant performance. I think most likely he comes out, he could give up a few runs, and I don't think he'll have an absolutely terrible performance. Like, I don't think he'll get shelled, but I just don't think he's going to put up point per dollar, like the score, you know, the fantasy output that I need him to put out at this price. So for that reason, you know, like you said, I pick my spots with Tanaka. I'm a big Tanaka guy, and I've been pretty good, you know, spot on with picking the spots where we should have Tanaka in our lineups. I don't think today is a day where you necessarily need to have Tanaka in your lineups. So that's where I stand on him. And Stroman, like you said, good ground ball pitcher. I get it. I just, again, don't want to pay top dollar for him in this matchup against the Yankees. So that's where I stand on those two. Anything else you want to add in about this matchup here?
No, that's fine. Like I said, I think I might get some exposure in tournaments to Tanaka, maybe. Like, it's like him and Stroman, you could go either way with them. But yeah, cash games, I don't know. It just depends. It's tough, right? Pitcher's not easy. But there's one guy I like. Let's head over to him. I want to talk about him a ton. Aaron Nola. Nola's my top pitcher on this slate right now. I think it's by a good amount, at least for now. You know, it depends on how things shake up throughout the day and how that lineup looks for the Pirates. I mean, it was bad on Sunday, but I'm sure it'll be a lot better today because it was just a Sunday. Something that I always mention is that like on Sunday, look for those lineups. It's always very important. And even during the weekdays, we need to look for that. Sometimes you get some edge on slates where we don't really like pitching. This is a slate we don't like pitching, so maybe there'll be a guy that does emerge. But back to Aaron Nola. Okay, so he's going up against the Pirates. Pirates are projected to have only three lefties in the lineup. And Josh, what is Aaron Nola good against? Exactly. Like, I mean, we're probably only going to see the three lefties. Like, if you saw four, you'd get a little, you know, you start getting concerned, right? But three, you know, is not a ton. And hey, we could even get two if, like, they mess up the lineup somehow, even more. He also gets a pitcher, so that's always good for the pitcher. His K percentage against righties is 25.4% with a walk percentage of 4.9%, and then against lefties 21.5% and a walk percentage of 10.8%. So it's it's clear he's definitely pretty good against righties. And the lefties that we have to worry about are Polanco, Frazier, and Josh Bell, which are good lefties, right? But they're no Bryce Harper, so that's a bonus as well. Game's in Philly, which is a pitcher's park, so that concerns me a little bit. I don't really like taking pitchers in the Philadelphia park, but again, I think Nola's just got the stuff, and he's gonna have a good amount of Ks. I feel really comfortable with the strikeouts, right? I think he'll get at least five or six. Hopefully, he can keep the damage down and go deep enough where at this slate, it will, you know, he'll find me to get to about on FanDuel like 35 to 36, right? Or on DraftKings maybe like 20. So I feel good about Nola. I think he's a really good play. How about you, Josh? What's your thoughts on Nola?
Oh, man, I love Nola in real life as a pitcher. I love watching the kid throw. He's just got such nasty breaking stuff, man. Like, he just never gets enough credit for that. When you watch him throw, he could throw that curveball for a strike. He throws that, like, nasty, like, slider for a strike, you know. And he's a guy that, you know, has a lot of options. Like, he throws a lot of different variances of different pitches. And for me, like, you know, like, it's always fun to watch guys, like, paint the corners and you know, watch those hitters kind of get frustrated because the ball's moving so much. So he's a guy that I'm always, like, interested in when he's throwing. Obviously, at home, he has kind of a park disadvantage. It's a hitter's park, but he's been keeping the fly balls down. 23.5% to righties, 31% to lefties. And as you mentioned, strikeout rate is great against righties, and it's solid against lefties at 21.5. The 10% walk rate's a little high against lefties, but like you said, we shouldn't have too many lefties to worry about. And as far as like him getting, you know, absolutely like crushed, like I said, he's keeping those fly balls down. And the ISO, the team ISO against righties here for this Pittsburgh team this season is at 125, just absolutely, low bottom of the barrel ISO here. Their power is just not something to be concerned about. So I'm definitely going to have interest in Nola on this slate. I think that he could come out and throw a great game. I don't think he's going to necessarily hurt you too. I think that the upside outweighs the downside here with Nola. So I could definitely see having some interest in Nola on the slate. I'd be on board with that play, Travis. I could agree with you on this one. So I definitely would put him in the core of pitchers that I'm interested in here on this slate.
Yeah, I think he's interesting. I'm definitely my top option right now. Of course, things that will matter too is like when umpires come out. Hopefully, we can get umpire data early on, and that'll help make decisions too. I'm pretty big on making sure if I can get my pitcher on a slate like this to have a good, a good umpire for pitchers. That can always be good because you know how it is as a pitcher, Josh, getting squeezed can be tough. But what do you think of Nova on the opposite side against a Phillies team that's kind of weak? I've been kind of on like team let's stream against these Phillies right now because they're really bad. And hey, if we stream against them, some days you're gonna get hit. You know, right? If you're streaming every single day, there's gonna be days where a guy like Montero, he had an okay game, he didn't have a great game, so that's gonna happen. But Nova against Philadelphia, a guy that doesn't have a ton of strikeout upside, right? But he's normally pretty good. He can get you there. And it's a team like the Phillies who can strike out. So what do you think about Nova?
Yeah, Nova, a guy I like in real life. He's a very efficient pitcher. Gets ground balls, keeps fly balls down, doesn't walk a lot of hitters. But the reason why he doesn't walk a lot of hitters is because he pitches to contact. He pitches for efficiency. You know, he just wants to get to, he wants to get outs, and he does a good job at getting outs. While this Phillies team does strike out a decent amount, 23.1% to righties here, Nova's just not a strikeout guy. And in DFS, you know, you don't want to target guys that don't have that strikeout upside. And I don't see Nova coming out and striking out as, you know, as many batters as guys around his price range on the slate. So it's kind of a stay away from me just for the simple fact that he could go like 6-7 innings and throw well, not get a ton of strikeouts, and then get, you know, if he gives up a few runs, it's going to do serious damage to his score because he doesn't have the strikeouts there in his score line, you know. So when guys, you know, how many times have you seen guys go 6-7 innings, you know, shutout innings? And then they, you know, then they give up a few runs, and all of a sudden their whole stat line's dead. You know, like it's just like it could end up really hurting you. So, I'm not sure if this is a spot where we're targeting Nova would make the most sense. I get it, like it's in a spot, you know, as you said, where the strikeout upside could be there because of these Phillies bats, but you know, he just doesn't have the strikeout upside to match that, in my opinion. So he'll go out. I think he'll be efficient. I think, you know, I think he might give you a quality start. I think he'll get, you know, he'll come out, get some ground balls, get some outs, but I just don't see him, like I said, having the same upside as other pitchers in his price range. So Nova's kind of a stay away for me on this slate. Let's move on to other pitchers on this slate. Now, one guy I'm going to have some interest in here is, you know, and Vegas kind of disagrees with me because they see that implied run total on the Twins at over 5 runs. But I think Alex Meyer has some good upside for DFS purposes here in this matchup. If you look at him, like, you know, he's a guy that people don't tend to target too much, and he has the strikeout upside this season, you know, 25% to righties, 26% to lefties. His fly balls, you know, are not too high, 31% against righties and 24% versus lefties, but that ground ball rate, 50% versus lefties, 43% versus righties, so he is able to get the ball down. His walk rate is the main concern, 14% versus righties, 15% versus lefties, so, you know, he's got to get his control together. That's the main issue. You don't want to give free passes to guys to get on base, then they score, and it ends up hurting you every time. It's like one of the worst things you could do as a pitcher is start putting guys on for free because, you know, it could get ugly really quick. But that said, that strikeout upside is there, as I mentioned, and the Minnesota hitters striking out at 29% rate this season against righties. That's a huge strikeout rate, 29% versus righties. And, you know, so the strikeout upside is there for a guy who could strike out a bunch of hitters. He may give up a few runs here in Minnesota. You know, it could happen, but I think that he could strike out enough hitters to offset that. And he comes at a nice cheap price tag, too, on the slate. Travis, how do you feel about Alex Meyer here?
Okay, so, yeah, Josh, you just pumped up all the upside of Alex Meyer. I think he's strictly a tournament guy, and here's the downside of why he's strictly a tournament guy. He's got walks against righties. Walk percentage is 14.1% this year, 15.7% against lefties. And then the Twins, they are really good at walking, 9.1% walk percentage. So, I mean, there's just – he can easily just get some, like, you know, put on two or three guys on the bases, and then Sano or Dozier takes some yard, a Kepler, a Grossman. I mean, there's guys that can go yard on him, right? Kenny's Vargas. It's – in love with this. If I'm playing Alex Meyer, I'm putting it in lineups, and I'm considering them lit on fire, right? Like, they're just, like, done. Like, so I'm not, like, too worried about the money. So, like, I'm not putting him in my cash game. But in tournaments, I'll put Alex Meyer in there. And I think he, like I said, I think he's got the upside, like you expressed. But I'm definitely, you know, at the end of the night, if Alex Meyer's got me, like, I'm not, like, shaking my fists in the air going, what the heck, Alex Meyer? You ruined everything. Because I knew what I had going. I knew what was coming into it. That's kind of how I feel about Alex Meyer.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah, definitely tournament play only. Let me emphasize that. I wasn't saying to play him in cash games, but I think the upside is there for tournaments.
Yeah, I just want to stress it because, like, I know when, like, you know, you rattle off all those good stats, people are like, oh, just put him in cash, right? But, like, no. Nope. Like, yeah. I get it, right? Like, if the price was right, maybe he could be a cash game player, right? If the price was right, what's
Bob
the
Barker
price on?
If it was Bob Barker,
yeah,
price.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I mean, so if the price is super cheap, I could see it maybe being a possibility just because we hate, and on an SP2 site, maybe. I'm probably not going to play a ton of SP2 cash, but I get the Meyer play, right? There's some sexy upside with him. So I understand what you were saying with everything, but just always keep in mind the Twins, man, they can be scary. So what about some of these other pitchers, Josh? There's a lot of other ones here. I guess let's talk about Porcello a little bit. I never liked to play him. I almost got enticed. I almost got tempted by that price last start. I was on him most of the day, and then I got off last second, and it was great. It was a great feeling not to have to play him. Even at 7.5, and I don't think he did bad, but he, like 12.7 for 7.5, like you don't really want that, especially in your cash case. And he was chalky. I had someone else, and it worked out pretty well. But like, I mean, Rick Porcello in Texas, like, this just sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. I don't care about the price tag. I'm just passing no matter what.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I got off of Porcello too last start, and I felt very good about that. He was 6.8 on DraftKings last start, so you know, put him into consideration as an SP2, but. Yeah, it's in Texas. Terrible environment for pitchers. It's going to be a hot day. And his price has gone up since last start. So it's not even like, you know what I mean? If his price went down, I mean, like if he was like sitting at like 5.9 on DraftKings, obviously, like you might give him some tournament consideration. But I'm not going to pay 7.5 for him on DraftKings. I'm not going to pay over 8K for him on FanDuel. So, yeah, Porcello for me is just like an absolute stay away. I think that we could both agree that this is a fade spot for him. And I think that on the other side of that game, we could also agree that Martin Perez is not in play. You know, I think that's pretty clear too. So just stay away from pitchers in Texas in the summer like this. This is like prime hitting environments for the hitters here. So I think we could agree on
that. Yeah, but Josh, isn't this great? We got Martin Perez, the guy to never stack against, and the Boston Red Sox, a team that'll probably be chalky, that when you stack them, it never works out, right? Like, it's kind of hilarious that we have this combo against each other.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, like, you know, that Red Sox team went off for a ton of runs. Mookie Betts put up, like, 50-something DraftKings points. It was insane. You know, I believe Hanley Ramirez hit a home run too, which is good for him. He's getting back on his feet. But yeah, I think that with recency bias too, I think you're going to see a lot of Boston stacks out there after that huge game yesterday. So we'll get to that when we get to the hitters. But let's stay on the pitchers here and get through that. I think Gerald Cotton is definitely in play here. He's a guy that I haven't really played much this season. Earlier in the season, you know, I believe I played him maybe his first or second start. And like, he's got some good stuff, you know. He definitely has some good stuff. And looking at the numbers, you know, they're not like jump off the page numbers. 21.5% strikeout rate to righties, 17.8% to lefties. He does struggle a little bit with the walks versus lefties at 11.1%. But, you know, this is a White Sox team that we don't really have to worry too much. They don't really have a lot of lefty power in this lineup. It's mostly, you know, mostly right-handed bats. You know, all their damage is done by their righties. You know, and they strike out a ton too versus righties this season. 27% strikeout rate against righties, which is like ridiculous. That's a really high strikeout rate. So I think that there's upside here for Cotton. On top of that, he gets to pitch at home where he gets a nice park boost. You know, it's a pitcher's park over there in Oakland, so that's good for him too. He's been getting the concern about Cotton is those fly balls being high, 40% to lefties, 42% to righties. But in this pitcher's park, those fly balls translate to outs usually, and not to home runs. So that's a good thing. I think that Cotton is definitely in play here on the slate. He gets the strikeout upside, and he gets the pitcher's park boost. So someone I'm going to have interest in. How do you feel about Cotton here, Travis?
Yeah, I like him. I'll probably get exposure to him on the slate. Guy, I'll just sprinkle in some tournaments. I think he's a good option. And yeah, I think you mentioned a lot of good reasons for it. So, you know, if Cotton's a good option, I'm going to definitely have some exposure to him on the slate.
All right. And I believe one of the last guys I'd be interested in on the slate is going to be Ian Kennedy. Now, I've been picking on Seattle here and there in certain spots, and it's been working out. And I feel like not a lot of people are like, kind of like, it seems like every time I take a pitcher against Seattle, they end up being super low-owned, you know, and it might be because of the name recognition. People are scared of guys like Cano and Cruz and Seager, you know, and like and Segura being healthy and back again, right? But, you know, this is a spot where I think that, you know, Kennedy's coming back, and people don't like to play Kennedy too because he was getting lit up earlier in the year. But he's kind of found himself again. He's kind of found a way to come out and throw some quality starts. And, you know, he's shown his strikeout upside again, bringing that strikeout rate back up to over 20%, which is good. You know, his fly balls have been high, and that's again, you know, an issue. But it's in Seattle, which is a pitcher's park. So, you know, you don't really have to worry too much about those fly balls. You know, Seattle has some guys that can hit on this lineup. Like, you know, there's definitely some guys here that have some pop and have some upside. But They're also a team that strikes out a ton to righties, 25.8% strikeout rate to righties this season. They just, you know, they do strike out a ton. And for some reason, people just forget that Seattle strikes out, and they do, and they strike out a lot. So when you get a guy that can strike out hitters, especially a guy like Kennedy, who we know in the past has had strikeout upside and just, you know, had trouble finding his footing this season, now we're seeing some positive regression. It might be a good spot in tournaments to hop on with Kennedy and you know, before everyone else starts, you know, before we get a Ian Kennedy chalk night, you know, I think that this might be a spot to hop on with Kennedy. What do you think about Kennedy here, Travis?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, he's 14.4K on our sponsor site Fantasy Draft. Wouldn't hate him over there, I guess, but I'd probably rather just go Alex Meyer for like 1,100 or less and just take a little risk there on with a lot of upside that he has compared to Kennedy. But yeah, I hate rostering Ian Kennedy anyways, and it just doesn't feel like the spot for me today to I'll just go to other options possibly instead. But I get him as like maybe I'll sprinkle him in a little bit in tournaments.
All right. I think we could agree that it's a stay away for both pitchers in Colorado in this Coors game, right? You don't play pitchers in Coors.
Yeah, I really don't. Some people do, but I try to do it as I try to not do it as much as possible. And yeah, this doesn't seem like the right day to even worry about that. You haven't mentioned your boy Adam Wainwright, man. It's been all slate. We're not playing him, right? Is that for sure, Josh? You haven't mentioned him, the Mr. You know, negative or 20 points lately.
You know, I've been pretty good at picking spots with Rain. Just like what you mentioned with Tanaka, I found good, you know, usually pretty spot on with when it's a good spot to roll him out. This is just not a spot for me. That Marlins offense has been super hot. They've been crushing the ball. And, you know, with Wainwright, I usually like to get him when I feel like I'm getting a nice discount on him, where I feel like the upside is there. And I don't feel like, you know, now that he's priced up on DraftKings, he's 8.4. And over on FanDuel, he is... let's see, where is he? He's 7.7. Like, I just feel like there's not a lot of profit potential at these price tags now. So, plus the matchup, I'm not in love with the matchup here. I think this is a stay away spot for Wainwright. I think it'd be Wayne wrong today, Travis, the stupid joke you always laugh at me for. But
the weekend grind listeners are just, you know, they were clamoring for the Wainwright takes, obviously. But just listen to this game log, man. This is funny. It's just a good laugh. 21, 23.5, 29.4, 25.9, negative 12.4, 13.9, negative 17.7, 21.4, 24.9. It's just like kind of funny how like on and off he's really been this year. We're not playing him today. It's definitely not the right slate to even consider him. And for me, if it's a slate and Wainwright's on it, I'm probably never considering him. But I know you, you've been pretty good at picking the spots this year, Josh. So maybe I should listen a little more when you're talking about it.
No interest on the other side of that in Jeff Locke, right? No interest from you there.
No. Okay. No thanks.
All right. Well, one last guy here to mention then is this guy, Andrew Moore. You know, he's on the other side of that game against Kennedy going against Kansas City, who yesterday had a big game. You know, they definitely had a big game yesterday, and they definitely are waking up offensively. But, I mean, the numbers overall, you know, they do strike out against righties at 19.1% this season. And, you know, their ISO at 170-71, not really anything to be too worried about. And they are in a pitcher's park in Seattle. And Andrew Moore, you know, came out, he threw a good game against Detroit last outing came out. And they let him throw 100 pitches, so... you know, they gave him a nice long leash, and he ended up getting the win for them. So, you know, in this pitcher's park here with a guy who came out and gave a solid performance last time against an offense that, even though they woke up yesterday, you know, the trend has been for them to struggle this season. At you know, he's a huge bargain price on DraftKings at 5.5. Is this something that you think that is worth a punt maybe in SP2 to get some big bats into your lineup, or you think that this is like a clear stay away for you?
Yeah, if it helps get the Coors bats in, right, with like a, you know, a nice pitching option that you like, I say go for it. I wouldn't hate it, but I'm not in love with it, right? It's one of those things where I'm just like, yeah, pitching doesn't matter a ton, right? It's like you can win tournaments with a not so great pitching performance. It really helps you jam in the bats. So if it really helps you jam in the bats, I can get behind it a little bit. One last guy you definitely didn't mention that I think we should talk about just a little bit. Just want to say Carlos Rodon, right? He can have like amazing strikeout upside. He could have it, but I don't play really against the A's unless they're like really good pitchers. Because they got some like good, really good righty mashers that can really just kind of get a hold of the ball and Rodon. So I just want to mention that as well, because he's a guy that I think people could be considering in tournaments. And it could work, right? Because the A's can strike out a ton. But I normally just only attack the A's with righties. That's where the K's are. And against a left-handed pitcher, it's normally not a winning recipe. So that's why I just stay away from that. And it's normally a plus EV move for me.
Yeah. And how about Alberto Mejia here going against the Angels?
I'll pass. You know me with the Angels.
Yeah, but listen to these team stats against lefties for the Angels. I know you like to stay away from righties against the Angels, but their ISO is under 100 at 84. It's .084 ISO. Their WOBA is atrocious, 203, and their strikeout rate's at 23.3% against lefties, and their walk rate 6.9%. And their BABIP is at 190 as a team. It's under 200. Their BABIP. So I mean, that's all against lefties, and you know Mejia. You know, a little bit below the strike, you know, the average strikeout rate, but 18.8% to righties and 20% to lefties. Does that entice you at all when you hear those numbers about how bad they are against lefties?
Yeah, I can't spread myself too thin at pitcher, right? I'll probably look at Meyer instead. Like, I just can't spread myself too thin. There's some offenses we like too, so I just can't spread myself too thin here. So I'm going to have to pass on that.
All right, I think there's some merit in tournaments to Mejia. Maybe I'll get a little crazy. We'll see. Follow us on Twitter, and you'll see. You'll probably see one of, you know, our thought processes as we go, and you can feel free to ask us any questions. But I believe we covered all the pitchers here on this slate, so time to move on to the hitters. But before we do that, Travis, give me your top two pitchers here. Obviously, Nola, you mentioned, was number one. So give me your top two pitchers here on this slate.
I'll go with Nola and number two. I think Cotton's a decent option, so I'll roll with him.
Oh, you stole my two. I was going to go with Cotton and Nola.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah. Cotton and Nola are the two.
Yeah, and I think behind them for my tournaments, I like Alex Meyer and I like Ian Kennedy, too, for tournaments. So that's where I'm going to be at. All right, let's move on to the bats. As always, we start with the catcher position. Catcher is usually a spot if you listen to the Weekend Grind. You guys know that we like to look for, like, you know, cheap catchers here, try to find a cheap home run, cheap catchers with power, or, you know, try to find catchers that correlate to the rest of our lineups. You know, catcher is usually a pretty thin position. I'll have depth in the league for hitting catchers here, usually batting at the bottom of the order, usually not guys with, you know, a ton of upside. But there's a few on the slate I think we could target. Travis, kick us off at catcher. Who are you looking at here at catcher on this?
Yeah, so catcher, like, the thing that's nice is you don't have to play catchers on Fantasy Draft on our sponsor site. So that's the great thing about Fantasy Draft. So go sign up over there and, like, don't play catcher if you don't want to. But if a site that were forced to play catcher, like, I won't argue if you put Gary Sanchez in your lineup and you have the money, but this is a good spot to kind of, I think, fade him. Like, I just don't think you need to pay the price tag against a pitcher like Stroman. Good at getting ground balls and reducing hard contact. I mean, he's a guy I think I'll just absolutely pass on Gary Sanchez. It does not seem like a Gary the Goat kind of day. I don't mind a guy like a Devin Mesoraco, right? Devin Mesoraco, he's a guy that he could be in Coors Field, which is really good for him. Like any of these course catchers on a course slate, you have to consider them. So just be on the lookout for that. But Mesoraco is a guy who's in the past has been injured. And, you know, people may not know him that well, but he's got some power on popping in his bat. So he's a guy that I'm definitely going to consider on this slate as a catcher option to play. I also think Russell Martin against Tanaka isn't a terrible option. Would have some interest in him because we'll probably be batting second. So that's something that could be a good play. The guy I think is going to be like the chalk probably is JT Realmuto. I'm assuming, I mean, I know D Gordon normally bats first and he was out yesterday, but man, JT Realmuto had a really good game batting first yesterday. I wouldn't be shocked if they played Realmuto first again, maybe. So if he bats first, I could see him being the chalk, right? And if he is, I'm going to have a ton of interest in him. Batting first against a guy like Wainwright is a great spot for him. So just be on the lookout for lineups and whatnot and look at catcher positions and just see where they line up because that matters a ton. Sometimes a catcher who's batting, normally going to bat eighth and he moves up to sixth and he's a cheap guy, that could influence him and make him a really good option. So just be on the lookout for that with catcher. It's one of those things where not a lot of guys are popping off the page to me, but I'm going to wait for lineups and see what happens. Oh, yeah, and like your boy Yadier Molina against the lefty, Josh, probably batting fifth is a good option too. Who do you like at catcher, Josh?
Yeah, you know, I always like Yadier Molina. He's a guy that, you know, against a lefty, I'm always going to target, has those great numbers against lefties. So definitely Molina's in play for me. I also think Sandy Leon is a good, you know, a good option here today against the lefty. Guy just absolutely mashes lefties, and he bats at the bottom of the order. Not a big, you know, household name, so people usually tend to stay away. You don't really get a lot of Sandy Leon ownership outside of full Boston stacks, but I think that Leon is definitely in play. Gives you a nice piece of this game in Texas where, you know, it's going to be a good hitter's environment. And he's going to be pretty cheap, too. So, you know, you can get a nice cheap catcher here. Has some pop in his bat. And like I said, hits lefties well. So, Sandy Leon definitely in play. On the flip side of that game, Jonathan Lucroy, a guy that, like, you could get a really low ownership in tournaments. So, another guy I'd be interested in. Usually people only target Lucroy against lefties. But, you know, he can hit righties pretty well. Still has some pop in his bat. And like I said, in a great hitter's environment in Texas, gets you nice cheap stock in that Texas offense. So I think outside of that, it's a good day to fade Gary the Goat. You know, not definitely no interest in Gary Sanchez, no interest in Russell Martin or, you know, even Sal Perez. I don't know if I want to pay up on the slate, especially because there's better options to go for cheaper. And he's playing in a pitcher's park, too. So he has that park downgrade. Yeah, so those are going to be my top three, would be Molina, Leon, and Lucroy. How about you, Travis? Who are your top options at catcher, if you get to boil it down?
Yeah, so Votto. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at first base. catcher, my top options. Oh, man. Top options at catcher. Probably, I'm going to go with, like, I'm just going to go with the Coors game, man. I'm like the catcher in Coors game. Whoever's there, like Barnhart, Mesoraco, one of those Reds catchers I'll probably look at. And then we'll go with Realmuto batting first, actually, if he's batting first. If he's batting even fifth or sixth, I'll still have interest, but I don't know. It'll be lower then. But
okay. On to first base we go. Now, first base, a loaded position as usual. Not too crazy. You know, Justin Bour is back, and people have been targeting him. I don't think I'm too crazy about him on the slate just because I feel like there's better options. Going back to that that game in Texas, Hanley Ramirez is definitely in play, especially if he's batting in the cleanoff spot. Going against a lefty, Hanley Ramirez is a career lefty masher, and people tend to stay away from Hanley, you know, just because first base is so loaded. You don't see a lot of Hanley ownership. Now that he's been hitting again, you know, we might see his ownership bloat up a little bit, but, you know, it's justified, especially in this spot against a lefty in Texas in a great hitting environment. I know we're both going to have interest in Votto here against Hoffman and Coors, you know, just he's priced super high, so you're going to have to find a cap for him if you want to play him. I don't mind some Albert Pujols against lefties. There's some interesting stats. I believe that Pujols has the highest WOBA ever against lefties among active players. So, you know, anytime you get Pujols against a lefty and he's super cheap, you know, and he gets a park upgrade in Minnesota, it's definitely somewhere you want to look. Yeah, for me, that's probably going to be the core that I'm looking at. Votto if I have the cap, and then some Hanley and probably some Pujols too for value. He's my favorite value pick. So those would be my top three first base options on the slate. How about you, Travis? Where are you looking at first base here?
Yeah, so I think, right, he's a good so they mentioned some good options, but you didn't mention my favorite option of the entire slate. Cheap guy on both sites, on DraftKings, and I'm sure on Fantasy Draft he's cheap. Let me pull up his price tag there before I let it out. Yeah, he's 5-1 on Fantasy Draft, man. So, yes, sign me up for some Sam Travis against Texas. Martin Perez, a lefty. He crushes left-handed pitching. I just think this is an absolute great spot for him. Just save with him. I'm hoping he'll be in the lineup. I'm sure they'll sit Mitch Moreland, and then they'll put Travis in the lineup. They've been doing that with lefties. So I'm sure he'll be in the lineup, and I'm pretty excited to roster him. He's my top first baseman, basically, on, like, you know, point per dollar and all that. Love him today. I think he's a great way to get exposure to the Boston offense for cheap. So yeah, I'm all in on him. He's like my favorite option. You didn't mention your boy Justin Smoke against Tanaka. I don't think this is a terrible spot for Smoke in tournaments, right? Get that short porch in Yankee Stadium, and like also Kendrys Morales with a short porch. Like both those first basemen, I like that because of the ballpark. It'll be hot out, wind blowing out like 8 miles an hour. I think there are guys to consider against Tanaka. Those two power bats at first are guys that I'm interested in. I like the Pujols call against Mejia in a park where it's really good for right-handed power in Minnesota. I think Pujols is an interesting cheap guy to go to. But like I said, I think Sam Travis is my favorite cheap guy. Don't mind a Hanley call, like you said, and even a Joey Votto. Like if I have the money for Joey Votto, I would love to play Joey Votto. But for me, this is I think I'm actually spending down at first a lot. And even Justin Bour, right, the Wild Bour. If I'm playing Marlin stacks, I'll probably have Bour in there, right? I'll mix him in throughout, and maybe even mix him in as a one-off. Depends on how my roster construction goes with my tournament teams. But I like the Wild Bour as well. Yes, yeah, so that's about it for me, Josh. At first, who's your? Did you mention your favorite two first basemen?
I did. I said that I liked I liked Votto if I have the money. Then Hanley is my mid-range, and I like Pujols too as a cheap option. Do like Sam Travis as well, as you mentioned. Think that, you know, he's definitely a guy that you could look at for value at first base. And I, you know, as you mentioned, I usually like smoke. I'm not sure if today is a free smoke day, but if you look at, you know, on FanDuel, they're pretty, you know, Morales and Smoke are priced pretty close, but I think there's 200 cap difference over there. But on DraftKings, look at that price difference, 4.9 for Smoke and 3.1K for Morales. Huge drop-off, 1,800 in cap difference between the two first basemen there. So if I was going to play anyone from this Toronto offense here, I think that Morales would be the way to go on DraftKings there at 3.1K. You're getting him at a very, very good value, you know, almost in the same price range as Sam Travis there, as you mentioned. And he's probably going to be batting fifth, Morales, here, and that short right porch, as you mentioned, in Yankee Stadium. So definitely Morales isn't playing tournaments, but I think I'm going to have a lot more Hanley and Pujols in tournaments, since I'm only playing tournaments today. I don't feel like this is that great of a cash slate for me. So in tournaments, I'll have a lot of Hanley, I'll have a lot of Pujols, and hopefully some Votto if I can find a way to fit him in. Let's move on to second base. Travis, you kick us off at second base. Who are you looking at here at second?
Yeah, well, real quick, Ian, let me pick my favorite two first basemen. You
know, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Who are your top?
So let me go. Yeah. So definitely I'm going to go with, I think Sam Travis is going to be my one. He's like my favorite guy. My favorite guy on this slate. And then the other one, you know, I'm going back and forth. I think the Morales call is a really good one on DraftKings. I like that a ton. But I'm going to go with the Wild Boar, man. I'm going to keep riding him out. I just like him a ton, and he's a guy I'm going to try and like go out of my way to plug in some of my tournament lineups if I can, the more and more I think about it. So, but yeah, let's head over to second base. You know what? I'll kick us off, Josh, with second base. Second base is a position, like Scooter Gennett. He's in cores. I get it. I'm not paying for him. Like, if I have the money, sure. But like on some sites, he's just way overpriced. Like, I mean, I think he's like the top, he's probably like the most expensive option. Yeah, DraftKings is the most expensive option. No, he's not the most expensive, but he's 4.7K, 4.1 on FanDuel. I mean, those are just expensive price tags. Fantasy draft, would you play Scooter Gennett for 9.3 on Fantasy Draft? Like, that's absolutely insane. Like, I'll just list some other guys near him, Josh. Like, would you play Scooter Gennett for 9.3 or Justin Smoke for 9.6? Mike Moustakas for 9K. Gary Sanchez for 9.3. Jed Jericho for 9K. Like, Miguel Sano for 8.8. Like, it's just crazy. Like, I'm not playing him over there. So, you can play your Scooter Gennett. I'm not playing him. I'm sorry. Maybe in some of my red stacks if I have the salary, but I'm going to try and avoid him as much as possible. But yeah, I think Dustin Pedroia is a guy I'm going to have a ton of interest in for good reason. I mean, it's just against the lefty, Martin Perez. I hate stacking against him, but this is, man, this run total is so high. It's a hot weather Texas game, and we can get Boston at some decent discounts, so I have some interest in him. Also think Jed Lowry, he's cooled down a little bit for the A's, right? But I don't think he's a terrible option against Rendon to get some exposure to. Robinson Cano against Ian Kennedy, fly ball pitcher, that's a good spot for a possible home run. I think Cano's a decent option. Even Dozier, always don't mind getting exposure to him, but not a spot where I'm in love with him like I was on the weekend. And then hey, these Royals, man, Whit Merrifield, he's been kind of on a nice little heater. So I think Whit Merrifield's a guy, you know, to have some interest in too. But what about you, Josh? Second base has some decent options all throughout. What do you think about the second base position?
I feel like as I'm building my lineups here, I just keep ending up going back to this this Texas game. It's only one run difference from the Coors game, so that's something to put into perspective. 11 runs is the total of that game, 12 for the Rockies game at Coors. So, you know, I think that this is a nice pivot off of the Coors bats, and you get them at, you know, not even close to the price difference. And those Coors bats are priced up so high compared to the bats in this Texas and Red Sox game. So I keep coming back to Pedroia and Odor. I mean, those are the two guys.
Yeah, Odor too. I like that. I like that call a lot, Josh.
Yeah, those are the two guys that I keep ending up landing on here when I'm building my rosters. It's just kind of, you know, more like correlation. If I feel like I don't have enough Texas bats, I keep putting Odor in. If I feel like I don't have enough Red Sox bats in that lineup, I'll put Pedroia in there. And Pedroia hits lefties well throughout his career, as we know. So this is a good spot to target either or in this game. That's probably, you know, they're priced the same on DraftKings and on FanDuel. It's only a 100 price difference. I'm sure on Fantasy Draft they're pretty close too, right? If you looked at the pricing over there.
I'll pull it up for you to keep talking.
Yeah. So like Odor and Pedroia, you know, when it comes down to the two of them, I think that
same exact price, 8.1.
Yeah, exactly. So same price in DraftKings, same price in Fantasy Draft. One, you know, 100 price difference in FanDuel. Just comes down to me to roster construction. I think both are definitely good plays, but I have both of them projected in, you know, to put out very similar outputs here. I think Odor might have a little bit more pop in his bat. He might have more power, so you get that home run upside a little bit more with Odor, but it's a hot game in Texas, so Pedroia could definitely put one over the fence too, and he could find other ways to, you know, hit his upside. So definitely like both of those guys. D. Gordon, I think, is someone that if you're going to play Boer, if you're going to play any of these Miami bats, you know, makes a fine correlation play there. So definitely someone to keep an eye on there. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't have too much interest in the other second baseman on the slate. I think I'm gonna really target Pedroia and Odor. Those are gonna be the two guys that I'll probably be hedging my exposure to. How about you, Travis? Who are your top two options here on the slate?
Yeah, I think you said it. I think you said it well with Pedroia and Odor. Like, they're gonna be the two guys. Like, I totally forgot them when I was talking about second baseman. But those are the two guys that are probably most people are gonna gravitate to, and I think they're the best two options as well. But let's head over to third base. Josh, I'll kick us off. We got, I don't mind Kyle Seager, man, today. I think he's a great way to get Mariners exposure, right? I think I'm going to have trouble getting exposure to, you know, through Cano. Cruz could be a guy that's, you know, tough getting exposure through him because he's normally priced up. But Kyle Seager, he's priced down on some sites, and I have some interest in him, man. He's just, like, especially on FanDuel specifically, 2.7K for Kyle Seager, man, that is just crazy. So against Ian Kennedy, fly ball guy, I have a ton of interest in Kyle Seager. He's probably my favorite third baseman. You know, Nolan Arenado, if I got the money, yeah, I would love to play him, right? We haven't really mentioned a Coors, a Colorado bat yet, but if I have the money for Nolan Arenado, I'll do it. But it's just a question is, do I have the money? It's tough. You can just go cheaper for like a Eugenio Suarez to get some Coors exposure to. I don't mind that. Miguel Sano, I'd rather, like I said, I think on fantasy draft around like 8.8K, I don't mind getting that because like you can load up on a ton of third baseman, but there's like other third baseman I would just rather play. What about you, Josh? Who do you like at third? Like I said, I think it's just going to be simple for me. Like Kyle Seager is my guy that I'm just going to kind of, I think, load a ton up on just to get good Mariners exposure. But how about you?
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult position to you know, to figure out where you're going to go on the slate just because there's so many options as far as like where you want to correlate. You know, I do think that Adrian Beltre is definitely in play here in this hot Texas game. Still under 4K on DraftKings. And over on FanDuel, you could get him for 4K. So I don't think I'd pay that price on FanDuel at 4K. But I think on DraftKings, he's certainly in play for under 4K just because of the salary cap differences there. You know, one guy that usually gets overlooked here, especially against lefties where he absolutely crushes and has a lot of upside, is Ryan Healy. I think that Ryan Healy is a guy that, you know, at his price tag now at 4.6 on DraftKings, a lot of people aren't gonna go that route just because, you know, they'd rather spend their cap elsewhere. But as long as he's is he playing? I know that he had that little back injury. Do you know if there's any updates on that? I'm looking now to see. He left yesterday's game with back spasms. So if he's in the lineup, I think that he's someone you could target, but just keep an eye on that injury news.
This guy just never play. I wish I did, but I just never play.
Which is why he's always good to play in tournaments against lefties, because he has so much power against lefties and people just tend to over, like, Ryan Healy's just not a sexy name, you know what I mean? Like, people don't want to put him in their lineups, but you know, if he has the upside there. I like your call on Seager. I think he's underpriced on FanDuel. I think you get him below what you should be getting him for over there. I think you're getting him at a bargain. So definitely worth a look over there. On DraftKings, not so much at 4.3. Arenado, obviously, going to have interest there, but again, priced up at Coors, so you're going to have to find cap for that. Not a lot of interest in Sano here. I get it, and I can see why you'd want to play him, because he's Sano and hits the crap out of the ball when he's at the plate. But really high hard contact numbers there. But just not. I'm going to probably pass on him on the slate. It looks like I'm going to end up just having a lot of Beltre here on DraftKings and over on FanDuel. I'll probably have some Seager, and if I have the cap, I would go with Arenado. So that's where I'm at third base here. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, you summed it up pretty well. That sounds about right. So yeah. Let's head over to shortstop. Wait.
What about Jerko against the lefty here against Locke? Any interest in Jerko?
Dude, I play him against righties, man. Like he seems like Justin Turner. People might hate it, like the reverse splits thing, but I played this guy yesterday against, or when did I play him? Saturday against lefty. I know it's Gio Gonzalez, but he didn't do crap. Like he was horrible. Like I don't know, man. Like I mean, that's. Whenever it's against a lefty, it just never works out. And when it's against a righty, it's always gold. So I'm just going to keep sticking with it. It seems like maybe I'm just like gotten on the right times and it's pure luck. Who knows? But from what I keep seeing, he seems very, very reverse splits early on in his career. And I'm just going to ride that out until he's in a year 10 in his career. And then people can finally say, hey, he's reverse splits. And I'll say I was ahead of the game. So.
I like that. That's a good one. So we're moving on to short then. You ready to move on to shortstop?
Yeah, let's head over to short. So I think like Zach Cozart, man, I'd love to play him. I know he had some injury issues and you know he's been in and out of the lineup a little bit, but if he's in batting second in Coors, man, I'd love to play him. He's a good play, but I think like the value play that like could get a lot of attention is this Franklin Barreto guy, the guy batting shortstop for the Oakland A's. They normally bat what's his name, Matt Olson, in the past week against righties because he's a lefty, but they'll probably switch him out and put in Barreto. They'll move him from the eight hole to the two spot. That's what they've been doing. So I think they put Barreto in at second once, and Barreto was pretty good. So he's like one of those guys, like super talented prospect, speed and power. Like he's a guy that's he's my favorite shortstop. I'll probably load up on him a ton all over the place, especially if he's batting second. So I'll probably be heavy on Barreto, man. And, you know, after your Healy talk and seeing that the outfield, we're going to have like a Raji Davis and a Chris Davis towards the top. And I talked about Jed Lowry. Like, I mean, this ace stack is going to be a really sneaky tournament one that I might have some consideration in more and more that I think about it. But I love Barreto today. He's just really cheap on a lot of sites. And you don't have to play him on fantasy draft, right? Because you don't have to roster a shortstop, which is what we love about fantasy drafts. So don't get your exposure to Barreto over there, in my opinion. He's cheap over there, I'm sure. Let me just look it up real quick. I bet he's like super cheap. So if you are looking for a cheap guy, I could get it. No, he's actually 7.2, which is pretty expensive for him over there. So just don't play him over there. Get your exposure on the sites like FanDuel and DraftKings where you need to play shortstops and like just load up on him. I think he's like the best option for me.
Yeah, I like Barreto a lot too. This is a very thin position on this slate, so you know you're just gonna have to find value somewhere. And I think that Barreto definitely presents good value. I was on that kid actually last weekend on the podcast, or was it two weekends ago, where he just came up. He was like exhausted. He didn't get any sleep, and he hit a home run on no sleep on his first game up. You know, so you know, and he was like 2K on DraftKings that day, and plugged him in. He did well that game too. So Barreto, definitely a guy I've interest in, and especially like you said in those Oakland stacks. I think that an Oakland stack is a nice sneaky tournament stack on this slate. So
Josh, what do you think of Bogarts and Andrus? I didn't mention them. Are they like kind of like Odor and Pedroia? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I was about to go there now.
Okay,
I feel like Bogarts is priced up higher than he should be. I feel like Bogarts is one of those guys who his price tag is just always high. You know, like it's like you're never going to get Bogarts at a discount. It just doesn't happen. So, like, you know, usually, like, you know, if you're paying up for him, you know, you have to expect a certain output from him at that price tag, right? So if I'm paying $1,000 more for Bogarts than I was for Barreto, I'm expecting a significant difference in output, right? Do you think that Bogarts necessarily has much, much higher upside than a guy like Barreto here in this matchup against Rodon?
Man, I hate rostering Xander Bogarts. He's like a cash game guy, right? Like people will talk about, I just feel like he never has upside, but I do want to have some interest in him against Perez, like batting third. It makes sense. I mean, he's one of those guys that it feels like he can get you there, but it takes a lot to get you there. Like a lot of different at bats, right? Like if you told me I only could do, you know, I'm just not banking on a home run from him, right? And like a bases clearing double or anything like that. Just always seems like that's the case. But he has a lot of, you know, he's got a lot of outs, right? Like he can steal, he can hit a home run, he can do a lot, right? He's a jack of all trades. I'll have interest in him, and he's a guy that I need to readjust myself and maybe try and roster a little bit more because I'm really sour on him.
He's also got a groin injury going on, it looks like.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're going to have to wait on that. They're the same price. Him and Elvis are the same price on FanDuel. So if I had to go at the same price, I don't know. I think that Elvis Andreas is a good play here. you know, he's priced up on DraftKings at 5K, so it's kind of difficult over there. But on FanDuel at 3.6, I feel like he has stolen base upside here against Porcello. Porcello's just not great at holding runners on, man. Like, if you watch him, like, he's just like, anytime he goes from the stretch, like, it's like, it's almost like he doesn't even care that there's runners on base. Like, he barely looks over there and, like, doesn't time up his pickoff moves well. Like, he's one of those guys where, like, you see him throw over the first, but it looks like more of, like, just going through the motions throwing the first and actually, like, trying to keep the runner close. So when you, you know, you do that and you have a quick guy like Elvis, that's kind of dangerous. So I think that Elvis Andreas is definitely a candidate for a stolen bat and a stolen base today. And again, you know, get your stock in that Texas offense. So I would go with Elvis if I had to pick between the two. I do think that Cozart's a decent play, as you mentioned. I think Trevor Story is definitely a decent play. Has lots of pop in his bat. That kid has a lot of power in his bat, and he's at home in Coors, so always a good boost there. And but Barreto, yeah, I definitely like Barreto a lot. So I think we're on the same guys here at shortstop. I think that those are the routes that you want to look. So for me, it would be, you know, if I'm paying up, I'd go with Elvis, you know, then have Barreto and Trevor Story. You know, is in the mix somewhere there too in tournaments. So, and Bogarts, if he's healthy, if he's in the lineup, depends on my roster construction. If I need more Red Sox in my lineup, then I'll plug him in. But would prefer to go Elvis over Bogarts on the slate. Anyone else here you want to mention at shortstop?
No, that's about it. Let's head over to the outfield. So, just to kind of like make it easy for you, like every Coors outfielder is a great play today. Like, we always like the Rockies outfield, we always like the Reds outfield. I mean, Billy Hamilton, I always love too. Like, just he's one of my favorite guys. But like all these outfielders, right? Like, they are just they're all gonna be expensive probably on whichever site you play. Like, if you can play them. I think it's a pretty simple way to put it, right, Josh?
Yeah, exactly. If you could find a way to get the cap to get them in, you should get them in. And I don't think that pivoting to that Texas game and picking the outfielders there is a terrible option either, because I feel like you might get them at lower ownership than the Coors bats. And they're cheaper. I mean, look at these prices for Chu and Mazara on DraftKings, 3.6 and 3.6.
You're right about that, for sure. I mean, they're cheap price tags for them. I don't think that's a bad route to go. I don't know if I'll be chasing Mookie Betts again. I get it's against Martin Perez, but
He hits lefties so well, man. He's in such a good hitting environment.
It's a great spot, right? But he just had that huge game. Will ownership be like? I mean, I even thought ownership was high yesterday.
Well, let me ask you, Travis. Do you want him to be 68% owned and you don't have him, and he hits like a home run and steals two bases? Like, you know, like that's what it comes down to. It's like, do you want to be behind the field that badly? Like, I know.
In tournaments, if it's like, yeah, I mean, it depends on what the ownership's going to be. I'll look for Jimenez. I'll look at Chris Jimenez's ownership.
It's going to be high.
And, figure it out from there.
It's going to be high ownership. It's, you know, especially after that big game yesterday. Like you said, you get a lot of game log chasers out there. But the issue is with Mookie Betts is, like, you're paying top dollar for him. So, yeah, if people plug him in for 5.4K, it's taking a lot of you know, realty out of their lineup there. It's taking big space out of their lineup for a lot of cap. And, like, you will have a huge edge, you know, against the field if he comes out and puts a zero up and they paid top dollar for him. But the question is, like, is he going to put a zero up, like, in Texas on a hot day against Martin Perez? Like, I just don't see that happening, you know? I don't think...
Yeah, I mean, no, I get it.
There's a chance he doesn't have another... I mean, it's a very, very small chance he has another 50-point DraftKings game, but I think it's very strongly... you know, it's a very strong favorite for Mookie Betts to at least, you know, do some damage today, you know what I mean? To at least, you know, justify his price tag a little bit. But
here's a question for you, Josh. You have... I'm talking to the guy who's only building one lineup, and he's got one roster spot left in his outfield. He can play Mookie Betts or Charlie Blackmon. Who's he playing?
And is this in a tournament?
Yeah, he's only playing one. And, like, don't be like, oh, it depends what your stack is. Like, it's a one-off. And he's got to pick one. He can only pick one.
I would say Blackmon.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's the reason why maybe Mookie Betts doesn't, like, right? Like, Blackman's a good play. He's just as good of a play, and he always gets ownership, right? So, I don't know. It's interesting. There's a lot of good outfielders I like on this slate. I don't know, Josh. Tell me some of the outfielders you like. Because, like I said, I think I just want to kind of get to the point of, like, hey, Colorado, Cincinnati's a good outfield, and I think you brought up a good point, too. Like, Boston and Texas is a great outfield, too. So, those are guys that we love, and I don't think we have to, like, pick them out name by name and give you the stats on them, right?
Well, one guy that I think we should pick out and point out is Chris Young. He's going to get a good lineup spot against the lefty, as he normally does. Yep. Crushes lefties, and he always comes at a discount because he doesn't hit righties well. Sometimes he's not even in the lineup against righties, so, like, they keep him priced down. But we know, like, career-wise, what Chris Young does against lefties, and he gets a lefty in one of the best hitting environments on the slate, if not the best. You know, like, that, you know, Texas, a hot day in Texas, and Coors are, you know, Vegas seems to think they're neck and neck with those run totals. So definitely Chris Young is a guy that you should be having in your cash games. If you're playing cash on the slate, you should have 100% Chris Young, like, for sure at this price.
Yeah, he's 6'9 on fantasy draft, and FanDuel, he's actually 2'4, which is insane.
Yeah, so, he's like free. Like you have you have to give him a spot on their lineup. You have to at that price tag. Other guys, I think we were talking about the Oakland stack. I think Roger Davis and Chris Davis are definitely in play. I think
love Chris Davis today. Yeah. Like, I haven't really been playing him, and I've kind of put him like on the side, the back burner, because like when he killed me for the two week stretch. But I feel like this is a really good spot to get back on him, and I should be giving him more love. And now I'm gonna look into him more deeper as we go, because he's been crushing it. Like, let me just read you his game log, right? Like, I totally missed this. I don't know how I missed it, but I totally missed it. Here we go. 34.2, 6, 12.5, 21.7, 47.4, 3, 3, 28.4, and 30.9. Like, man, I feel like I really missed the boat, but I'm going to try and jump back in today.
Yeah. Another guy that people tend to never roster is Cameron Maybin. You know, and like the guy can hit lefties really well. He's super fast too, so maybe later in the game you get a righty on the hill, he could steal second base. He's just a guy that gets overlooked a lot, you know, and I feel like if you're going to play Pujols, as I mentioned earlier, he makes a fine correlation play there, and I think that you'll get him in a very, very low ownership, especially on a slate with a Coors and a Texas game here. So those, you know, that I think that Maybin is certainly in play here. There's a lot of good options here, but I think Rajay Davis, but definitely Chris Davis is in play. I even like Chris Davis as a one-off in this spot. You know, so I know you agree with that. So the Oakland stack is definitely in play. But mainly, you know, you want target bats from this Texas game and from this Coors game. I think those are the two spots. I think those are going to be the most popular spots I'll go for my outfielders here, which is, you know, I like to correlate my outfielders to the rest of my lineup. And that's the spot where my lineups are heading. So I'll have a ton of Chris Young, ton of Mookie Betts, ton of Chu, ton of Mazzara, probably a good amount of Carlos Gomez. Might stay away from Jackie Bradley, even if he's in the lineup. Definitely going to have a lot of Blackman. I wish Cargo was around, man. It's a good spot for you. It would have been a good spot to get Cargo for cheap, but he's not there. So Blackman, not so crazy about Desmond. I think Tapia at 3.5 on DraftKings, you got him at a discount in this Coors game. Definitely something to look at. And how do you feel? Who's your favorite of the Cincinnati outfielders here? Do you like Billy Hamilton, Duvall?
I don't know. I'll probably go Billy Hamilton. So I'm a big Billy Hamilton fan. He's like one of my favorite players. I love watching him run. I'm a big fan of him. So I'll probably end up going with him, but I mean, like, I'll probably go like Hamilton and Duvall, like 1A, 1B, because Duvall's got so much power. And then, Schebler too. I don't mind mixing in there as well, though. But we forgot to mention like one more outfield, one more game of the outfield. Like, man, that Miami and St. Louis outfield. Like, first of all, Grichuk has been crushing the ball. Like, I like him as like a nice one off. I think he's a good option. And even like Pham and Piscotty, don't mind having. And we didn't even mention Yelich, Stanton, and Ozuna, right? Like, they've just been hitting the ball really well, and Stanton kind of let down a little bit yesterday on a really high ownership, so maybe people just stay away from him. And like, it's Adam Wainwright, like, I wouldn't, even though it's, you know, he's not a lefty, right? But he can get hit hard, and Stanton can hit the ball hard, so I wouldn't want to sleep on that Miami outfield too in tournaments. So I don't mind going back to the well on that. We liked Ozuna yesterday, he hit us 2 home runs, so why aren't we thinking about going back to the well with that outfield?
Yeah, I think that they're in a good spot. I always like Piscotty against the lefty, and as you mentioned, Grichuk has been killing the ball, and Tommy Pham is really showing why the Cardinals kept faith in him all this time, to like, you know, he's finally hitting the ball really well, and he's a guy that I think that people tend to overlook too, and they don't really play a lot of Tommy Pham. So I think that him, Piscotty, and Grichuk are definitely in play here, and of course that Miami outfield. You know, I think that if I had to rate them, I would go Yelich, Stanton, and then Ozuna. But Ozuna's always a guy, like, he's a double dong threat, man. Like, every time, people always overlook him too, you know. So definitely have that Miami outfield in play. Anyone else here you think that you want to cover here in the outfield before we move on to the stack of the day?
No, yeah, that's about it. Let's go to the let's talk about the stack of the day. Josh, can you kick us off? Who's your favorite stack?
All right, I'll kick us off. Now
we're keeping Coors off. No Coors.
Are we gonna keep off the Texas game too? Is the question, you know, because they're both the most stackable games on the slate, right? So
yeah, let's do that. I think it's pretty obvious. Those are like those that game's 1A, 1B. So well, yeah, let's do that. Let's take those stacks off. Everyone knows that they're good. Like if you've been listening, and if you're just tuning in now, which would be weird if you're just tuning in now. now, but hey, those are the two best off like best games to target for offense. I'm going to have a lot of ownership tomorrow.
Yeah, so we'll do stacks of the day. My stack of the day here, super sneaky stack of the day outside of the game in Texas, outside of the game in Coors. I really like the Cardinals offense here against Jeff Locke. Locke has been a guy that's very stackable, very stackable against here on, you know, lately. He's just been a guy that gives up a ton of runs, walks hitters. He just, you know, just can't get it together. And we got a Cardinals lineup here with a bunch of righties that have a lot of pop in their bat, have a lot of upside, and they could score runs in a hurry against a lefty here at home. So really like this Cardinals offense here. And I feel like the ownership will be down with both the game in Texas and the game in Coors. So my top sneaky tournament stack of the day is going to be the Cardinals. I feel like you get them, like I said, a nice low ownership. So that's the route that I will be going. How about you, Travis? Who's your stack of the day?
Yeah, don't hate that, man. Cardinals, man, 5.13 run total, man. So that's nice. Jeff Locke is not that great. So definitely might have to consider some of those Cardinals. Oakland is my stack of the day, man. I love Oakland today. I think they're a team that's in a pretty sneaky spot. I know Rodon's a guy who's a talented pitcher, right? He can get some strikeout upside, but Oakland can mash lefties. And I, you know, this is one of those, I'm playing for first or last, right? They're either going to swing or miss or they're going to crush the ball. So, Rajay Davis, Barreto, Jed Lowry, Chris Davis, Healy, like, oh, I mean, those are like the five guys I'm mainly going to target. If I think Rodon's going to get blown up early, don't mind like mixing in Alonzo. Like, all these guys just have some interest in the cheap Josh Fagley, Matt Olson, maybe not so much, but if I need the cheap outfield spot, maybe I could see maybe going there. And then like even Rosales, if Rosales is in the lineup for a little wraparound stack, I mean, can't hate that. So Oakland, I love them against lefty. They normally crush left-handed pitching. This is a spot where Oakland is my sneaky stack of the day.
Snacking away on those Oakland hitters.
Yeah, so give me the Oakland A's, man. They're my sneaky one of the day.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. But with that, we covered the slate. We appreciate you guys listening. We'll be covering here for the Fantasy Fix podcast for the rest of the week, so we're happy to be here with you guys. Usually we just get the weekends, but we get like a super bonus here of some Josh and Travis for you guys. So we're happy to be here with you guys. We'll be back tomorrow. But also, give us a follow on Twitter. My handle is @RealJoshuaGiant. You can follow Travis @TravisManGone. That's @TravisManGone. Shoot it over any questions or comments or, you know, just say what's up on Twitter. We're always here to work with you guys. If you have any DFS-related questions, you know, even if it's not, like, pick-related or roster construction-related, if you have any, like, DFS theory questions or if you're new and trying to get on your feet and you just, like, I had a guy, you know, message me the other day, just started up, had some questions, you know, he's, you know, had a relatively small bankroll, just wanted to know what route he should go. And, you know, like, I love getting questions like that, you know, because Travis and I have been doing this for a long time, and it's something that, you know, we are very big believers in teaching a man how to fish, not giving a man a fish. So that's why we try to break down these picks for you, let you know our process of where we get there, how we get there. And so that's something that we really like to do. So go ahead and do that. But I think that's it. Go ahead and enjoy your Monday. Enjoy the slate. We've got some fun games. Should be a good time. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace out, Grant.